الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين أما بعد we continue reading in Kitab al-Zakah the chapter of the obligatory charity which is the third pillar of al-Islam and the greatest of the sacred rites after the shahadatain and the salah comes the zakah kitabu al-zakah in our previous class we were discussing the ruling of a zakah and we have seen that it is an obligation We have seen that the zakat, it is an obligation. And the people of knowledge have clarified that the obligation of this affair is well known. And there is an ijma', the people of knowledge, they consider it a decisive consensus. يعني الاجماع القطعي على وجوب الزكات. It is a consensus that is well known and a consensus that is agreed upon and there's no doubt about it whatsoever. A type of consensus that there is no doubt about it whatsoever. Al-ijma' al-qat'i. With regards to the ruling of az-zakah. With regards to the ruling of az-zakah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He mentions, وَالَّذِينَ فِي أَمْوَالِهِمْ حَقٌ مَعْلُومٌ لِلسَّائِلِ وَالْمَحْرُومِ This is from the evidence is clarifying that. خذ من أموالهم صدقة تطهيرهم وتزكيهم بها تطهيرهم وتزكيهم بها A number of evidence is clarifying the obligation of a zakah. In our previous class, we were discussing the issue of the one who denied the obligation of zakah. The one who denied the obligation of zakah. This is an action of disbelief. وَلِيَذُ بِاللَّهِ This is an action of disbelief. وَلِيَذُ بِاللَّهِ That if someone were to say that he's free and he can pay if he wants to or if he doesn't want to, he doesn't have to pay. And it's up to the people and whatever they like. And the likes of these statements, and he denied the obligation of zakat, then this is disbelief. This is major disbelief. And the only one who would be excused for the likes of this is someone who grew up in lands far away from the Muslims or someone who was a new Muslim and he was unaware of these affairs. So this type of individual, he would be excused in his circumstance of ignorance with regards to denying the obligation of zakat. But he will be taught and he will be educated and it will be clarified for him that this is an obligation and the one who denies it has disbelieved. And then if he persisted upon denying that obligation, then he would be considered a disbeliever. وَلِيَذُ بِاللَّهِ The people of knowledge, they mentioned, مَنْ جَحَدَ وُجُوبَ الزَّكَاةِ غَيْرُ جَاهِرٍ كَفَرًا Kafara, yani ijma'an, addaha aw lam yu'addiha. The one who denies the obligation of zakat, and he's not upon ignorance, and he denies it while he knows, then he would disbelieve. And there's a consensus with regards to that, whether he performed the zakat or not. Whether he performed the zakat or not. Meaning if he even if he gave up his wealth, but he believed that it's not an obligation, and he denied that, then this is still considered an action of disbelief. But as for the one who affirms the obligation of zakat, and then he forbids paying that out of stinginess and out of greed, and he confesses and believes that it's an obligation, and he knows that it's a pillar from the pillars of Islam, and he admits to this and believes this, but he does not pay it because he's stingy, or he does not pay it because he's greedy. فجماهير العلماء يقولون بأنه فاسق مرتكب كبيرة that this person here he has committed a major sin. But it is not disbelief. That is not disbelief. And so to forbid or to prohibit paying the zakat because of stinginess or because of greed, along with affirming that it's an obligation and knowing that, then this is lesser than major disbelief. Then this is lesser than major disbelief. With regards to this affair, the people of knowledge have mentioned the statement of Allah Azza wa Jal in Surah At-Tawbah. فَإِن تَابُوا أَقَامُوا الصَّلَاةَ وَآتُوا الزَّكَاةَ فَخَلُّوا سَبِيلَهُمْ That if they repent, meaning if those mushrikun, those pagans and polytheists, if they repent from shirk and they establish the prayer and they pay the zakat, فَخَلُّوا سَبِيلَهُمْ Then let them go. And you do not approach them with harm. Do not fight them or strive against them. Rather, at this time, they will become brothers. And likewise, it has come يعني similar in another verse. Allah, He says in His book, فَإِن تَابُوا وَقَامُوا الصَّلَاةُ وَآتَوُوا الزَّكَاةُ فَإِخْوَانُكُمْ فِي الدِّينِ فَإِخْوَانُكُمْ فِي الدِّينِ That they will be your brothers in the religion. So if those pagans and polytheists, if they repent from shirk and they establish the prayer, and likewise they establish the zakat, then they will be your brothers in their religion. فَإِخْوَانُكُمْ فِي الدِّينِ Then they will be your brothers in the religion. So many of the people of knowledge have mentioned this verse to clarify the disbelief of the one who has left off the prayer. Because there is a condition here in order for the believers to not fight them and to leave them any safely. And for them to become brothers in deen, that they must repent from shirk. And they must establish the prayer. And they must also pay the zakat. Pay the zakat. So these are from the evidences here that the people of knowledge have mentioned that the one who does not establish the prayer, then he will not be our brother in the religion. Then he will not be our brother in the religion. So to be a brother in the religion, you have to repent from shirk. And you have to establish the prayer. And you have to pay the zakat. And you have to pay the zakat. So this is from those evidences clarifying that the one who left off the prayer, even while admitting that it's an obligation, but he was negligent with regards to that, and he did not pray out of laziness or negligence, then he would be a disbeliever. And this is from the evidences of that. So somebody may say, likewise, this verse will be evidence for the one who left off the zakat. Because likewise, وَآتُوا الزَّكَاةَ فَإِخْوَانُكُمْ فِي الدِّينِ And it's a condition here likewise. So based upon understanding this verse alone, maybe someone would include this affair. And that if he left off the zakat, and did not pay that, then he would not be our brother in the religion. Then he would not be our brother in the religion. But the issue here is that with regards to the issue of salat, there are a number of other evidences clarifying that affair. From that is what is narrated by Jabir in Sahih Muslim, that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Bayna al-rajuli wa bayna shirki wal kufri tarku salah." Tarku salah. Between a man and between paganism or polytheism, between shirk and between disbelief, is leaving the prayer. So there are a number of evidences also clarifying this affair, specifically with regards to the salah. And this evidence here, and so the Tawbah supports that. As for with regards to the affair of zakat, There's an exception here. There's an exception here. And likewise, it has come in Sahih Muslim. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he mentioned the issue of the one who did not pay the zakat. He mentioned the issue of the one who did not pay the zakat on the gold and on the silver. And likewise, on the animals and the likes like this. And it's a long narration. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam clarified that on the day of resurrection, each one of these individuals, he's going to be punished by his zakat. The one who hoarded up the gold and the silver, the gold and silver will be branded and he'll be punished by way of that. And he'll be humiliated and punished on the day of judgment. And likewise, the one who did not pay the zakat on the animals and so on and so forth, any of these things that he hoarded up from the wealth will punish him and humiliate him on the day of resurrection. But in each circumstance, after being punished and after being humiliated in this manner, then the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, ثُمَّ يَرَى سَبِيلَهُ إِمَّا إِلَى الْجَنَّةِ وَإِمَّا إِلَى النَّارِ And then he will see his path. And after the punishment, after he receives the punishment for not paying the zakat and not performing this obligation, then the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he mentioned, ثُمَّ يَرَى سَبِيلُهُ Then he will see his path. Then he will see his way out. إِمَّا إِلَى الْجَنَّةِ وَإِمَّا إِلَى النَّارِ Either he will go to the Jannah or else he will go to the Nar. Or else he will go to the Nar. So he's being, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned that this man, he's going to be punished because of withholding the zakat. But then after that punishment, it's mentioned that then he will see his destination, either into the paradise or either into the fire. And the person who disbelieved, and he fell into major disbelief, it will never be said about him that he will see his destination either into the Jannah or either into the fire. The one who has fallen into major disbelief, he has no option in the hereafter except for to the fire. Except for to the fire. So this evidence here specifies this verse and this understanding that the one who left off the zakat out of stinginess, while affirming the obligation, then indeed he has fallen into a major crime. And indeed he has perpetrated major sin. And indeed he's threatened with a major punishment and humiliation on the day of judgment, but it's lesser than major disbelief. Because after that he will see his path, either to the paradise or either to the fire. We understand the point of this evidence here. The one who falls into major disbelief, In the hereafter, it will not be said to him, he will either go to Jannah or he will either go to the fire. The one who died upon major disbelief, in the hereafter, he's facing nothing except for the fire. Nothing except for the fire. Nothing except humiliation and torment and pain and agony and regret for eternity. So the fact that this person here who perpetrated this sin, the sin of not performing the zakat, he will see either that or either this. And he still has the opportunity to enter paradise. It's still hope for impossibility, he will enter paradise. And in this manner like this, this is an indication that the sin, although it is great, it is lesser. It is lesser than major disbelief. It is lesser than major disbelief. So this is the issue here with regards to the zakat. It's an obligation. And to deny that and to belie that obligation is major disbelief. But to affirm that and to believe in that and then to deny it, any in application, he did not pay it because he's stingy, because he's greedy, because he's overcome by his desires and his whims and his love for the dunya and his love for wealth. This does not take him out of Islam. But it does put him under the threat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and he is perpetrating a major sin, and he is on a foul and a lowly way and a lowly path. After this, we see the issue of the farziyyah al-zakat. Farziyyah al-zakat. Mata furidat al-zakat. When was zakat made an obligation? When was it made an obligation? Many of the people of knowledge, they mentioned that it was made an obligation in al-Medina. That it was made an obligation in al-Medina, meaning after the hijrah, and it would be in the second year. But Ibn Kathir, rahimahullah ta'ala, in his tafsir, and other than him, yani from some of the people of knowledge, they have mentioned that in looking into the evidences, we see that the zakat was legislated even before the hijrah. And it was legislated in Mecca. And this is from looking at the verses in the book of Allah, the likes of them, وَآتُوا حَقَّهُ يَوْمَ حَصَادِهِ, with regards to the crops. And this verse is مَكِيَّ, وَآتُوا حَقَّهُ يَوْمَ حَصَادِهِ, and give the right of the crops on the day of harvest. On the day of harvest. And likewise, Allah, he says, وَالَّذِينَ فِي أَمْوَالِهِمْ حَقٌ مَعْلُومٌ وَالَّذِينَ هُمْ لِلزَّكَاةِ فَاعِلُونَ. All of these verses here, they're verses that are considered makkiyah, meaning they were revealed before the hijrah. And they're with regards to performing the zakat. So Ibn Kathir, rahimahullah ta'ala, and those who, and he followed him in this position from them, Shaykh Uthaymeen, rahimahullah ta'ala, mentioned that the legislation of zakat was established in Mecca, but it did not have details. Did not have the details that are established today, that were established in al-Medina, meaning that it was left up to them. It was not prescribed in a specific amount, or the ansiba were not established, like the amount of wealth that you have to have, or the types of wealth, or those who deserve the wealth. And all of these details were not established until after hijrah in al-Medina. So after hijrah in al-Medina in the second year, that's whenever all of the details came. And the al-amwal al-zakawiyyah were clarified, the types of wealth that must be, the zakat must be paid upon, what asnaf and mustahiqqa li zakat, and those categories who deserve and are qualified to receive the zakat, and the ansiba, the nisab, for the different types of wealth, the amount that the wealth must reach before there's an obligation upon it, and the likes like this. All of these details here, they were legislated and clarified later after the hijrah in the second year in al-Medina. And Allah knows best. If we look at the issue of a zakat, it's an amazing affair. And we have seen a number of the benefits from the affair of a zakat and the performance of this great obligation, and benefits for the individual who is performing it, benefits for the one who it is given to, from those who are impoverished and those who are needy, benefits for the society, and the likes like this. A number of beautiful aspects of this great obligation and this great pillar of az-zakat. Likewise, looking into the details of this affair, how there's only the zakat is only on specific wealth, and then the zakat is only upon a specific category of people, and then the zakat is only allowed to be given to a specific category of people, and then likewise there are conditions before the zakat becomes obligatory. There are conditions and detailed requirements before the zakat becomes obligatory. And all of these requirements and conditions, they must be fulfilled. And if there's anything prohibiting likewise there from the ruling to be established, then it will not be obligatory. The point is now to clarify the beauty of the legislation and the great care and concern Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given to this law, and that there are so many great details, and that the law of Allah is mastered and perfected. That the law of Allah Azza wa Jal is mastered and perfected, and this is seen clearly in the issue of zakat. Even if we look into the previous chapters, the issue of salah, or even the issue of a tahara, we will find that there are many, many details, detailed aspects of how these actions of worship should be performed, and when they become obligatory, and how they will be accepted, and what will nullify them, and what will invalidate them, and when are they required, and when are they not required, and how should one perform them, and what if one he did this, or what if one he did that, or what about this circumstance, or what about this exception, or what about in this situation, in this case, and the likes like this. So many great details in the chapter of Tahara. We have taken a number of them, alhamdulillah. Even more great details in the chapter of Salat, the obligatory and the non-obligatory, and the pillars and the conditions and the sunan and the wajibat and the likes like this. If you forget one, or if you did not forget one, or if the imam forgot one, or if you are a latecomer, or all of these great, great details in Allah that has legislated. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He has mastered the religion, just like He has mastered the creation. Subhanahu wa ta'ala, He has mastered and perfected the law, the law of al-Islam, and it's a beautiful affair. And this is clarified in great detail in the issue of zakat. And there are conditions and there are requirements that must be fulfilled before the zakat is obligatory. And then there are certain types of wealth that the zakat is incumbent upon or mandatory to be performed with regards to. And then only a certain category of people are obligated to perform it. And then there's also only a certain category of people who are allowed to receive it, and so on and so forth. Many, many great details clarifying yani the amazing affair of the message of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and that he was a Nabi al-Ummi, and that he was the illiterate prophet. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He cannot read or write. نَحْنُ أُمَّةٌ أُمِّيَّةٌ لَا نَقْرَأُ وَلَا نَكْتُبُ. He said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, we're a literate nation. Meaning the majority of the people in his time and from his area, they're illiterate. They cannot read or write. They cannot read or write. And he could not read or write. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He could not read or write. You can't give him a book. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He read it for you. You can't give him a pen. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And يَخُطُ بِيَمِينِهِ. He can't write with his hand. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. But if we look at these affairs, great details have come in this law. No man who is illiterate could bring these details, and he from himself. So all of this here is from the clarification that which he has come with, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, was revealed to him. وَأَنَّهُ لَا يَنطِقُ عَنِ الْهَوَى إِنْ هُوَ إِلَّا وَحْيٌ يُوحَى. That he doesn't speak from his desires, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and that it's only a revelation revealed. So we begin now discussing this issue here, the issue of shurut al-zakat. And I remind the noble brothers and sisters that we agreed in our previous class, before we start reading these narrations, because of the importance of this chapter, we will take some of the most beneficial affairs related to the issue of zakat, the most beneficial and important foundations and fundamentals, and then also the masail and the issues that will be directly related to us most often in our day and in our society, in our time, so that we have a good understanding of this great pillar of al-Islam, and we know how bi-ithnillahi ta'ala to establish it properly and how to perform it properly. And those who it's required, they will be able to perform it upon insight and upon knowledge. Bi-ithnillahi ta'ala. And those who do not have to perform it, then they will know that upon insight and upon knowledge. And those who can receive it and the likes like this, all of this will be clarified and well known. And we hope that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will accept these efforts from us. So we see the people of knowledge, they mentioned shurut. Shurut wujub is zakat. Shurutu wujub is zakat, the conditions for the obligation of a zakat. I'm going to mention a number of the people of knowledge, they mention a number of them, and they number them slightly different sometimes according to the aspect that they look at these issues. Sometimes one condition will be included in the mention of another, and so on and so forth. But we mention the conditions that we will discuss, inshallah, in this class and in the classes to come. So we have the first condition, al-Islam. The second condition, al-hurriyah. Al-Islam meaning that the person, he is a Muslim. This is, again, the conditions for the obligation of zakat. Who would it be obligatory upon? I've just mentioned them briefly, and then we discuss them in detail, inshallah. The first one, al-Islam. The second one, al-hurriyah. The first condition is to be a Muslim. The second condition is to be a free man or to be a free person. To be a free person. The third condition, أن يكون المال مما تجب فيه الزكاة. The third condition is that the wealth will be from the wealth that zakat is obligatory in. And the type of wealth, yani, is called al-amwal al-zakawiyyah. Al-amwal al-zakawiyyah, the types, and that the wealth will be from the types of wealth that there's actually zakat in that. The fourth condition, al-milk al-tam. Al-milk al-tam. And the person, he must have complete ownership and authority over the wealth. And we just mentioned them in general now. And the details, they come later. But this is a condition that a person, he must have a ownership over the wealth. And it must be complete. It cannot be deficient. Meaning he must be able to do with his wealth whatever he likes, whenever he likes to. And if that's not the case, then it will not be obligatory. The details will come, inshallah. Likewise, the fifth condition that we discuss, أن يكون المال حلالاً, that the wealth, it must be halal, it must be lawful. But there's details here likewise. There's details here likewise, and this is not in every situation and circumstance, whether there's a specific intent from this condition. And the sixth condition, the people of Nar, as I mentioned, murur al-hawm, or mudi al-hawm, that the term appointed will go over the wealth. And while the person, he'll have possession of that wealth, and then one entire year will go by while that wealth is in his possession. And one entire year, what is intended by the hawm? This is from the terminology that we have to understand in this chapter. Al-hawl. Al-hawl. Hawalan al-hawl. Al-mudhi. Al-murur. Al-hawl. Al-hawl. What is intended by al-hawl is as-sana al-qamariyah. As-sana al-qamariyah. The lunar year. The lunar year. So the wealth, it must be in the possession of a person for one lunar year. This is from the conditions. And this is also with specific types of wealth. There are some types of wealth we will see that do not require this condition. And then likewise, after that we have bulugh an-nisab, that the wealth, it must reach the nisab. And this is another important term for us to understand in the chapter of the zakat, an-nisab. An-nisab is the amount of wealth that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has prescribed for it, the wealth to reach before the obligation of zakat comes. So it would not be in any wealth, nor in any amount of wealth, but rather in specific wealth. Whenever that wealth reaches a specific amount, and then it remains in the ownership of a person for an entire year. So these are from the conditions that, inshallah, we're going to discuss some of the details with regards to. So the first condition, the people of Nar, as they mentioned, al-Islam, فَلَا تَجِبُ الزَّكَاةُ عَلَى الْكَافِرِ فَلَا تَجِبُ الزَّكَاةُ عَلَى الْكَافِرِ. So zakat is not obligatory upon a disbeliever. It's not obligatory upon a disbeliever, أَدَاءً, يعني أَدَاءً, وَإِنْ أَسْلَمَ فَلَا يَجِبُ عَلَيْهِ الْقَضَاءُ. And if he were to accept Islam, it's not obligatory for him to make up those years of the past if he was from the wealthy. Rather, if a person accepted Islam and he was from those who are wealthy, from the day he accepts Islam, he will begin a hawl. He will begin counting the hawl from that day. If he is somebody who is wealthy, someone who has the nisab in his possession and he accepted Islam, then he will start counting from that day the hawl in this manner like this. And it will not be obligatory for him to pay at that time or to make up that which he missed and the likes like this. And a person who was a disbeliever, he would not be required to pay the zakat. And so long as he is upon disbelief. But the people of Nar, as they clarify likewise, that the kafir, he's mukhatab. He's mukhatab bi zakat, wa bi salat, wa bi jami' al a'mal. Lakinnaha la tasihhu minhu hatta yuslim. That he is required. He's required, meaning he's addressed with the obligation of performing the salat and the obligation of performing the zakat and the rest of the obligations, but it's not accepted from him until he accepts Islam. And what is intended here is to mean that although we will not call him to pray the salat, nor to pay the zakat, nor to fast Ramadan, or nor to make hajj or any other of the actions of Islam before we call him to Islam, because none of these affairs would be correct without Islam. But if he died without accepting Islam, then he'll be held account for that. He'll be taken to account and he'll be punished for denying Islam. And he'll be punished likewise for neglecting the salat and the zakat and the rest of the obligations. So the issue here will be apparent in the hereafter. So not only would he be punished for his disbelief, but he will be punished likewise for leaving off these obligations. And from the evidences of that, whenever it's mentioned to the people in the hellfire, it said to them, وَمَا سَلَكَكُمْ مَا سَلَكَكُمْ فِي سَقَرٍ. And what landed you in the hellfire? قَالُوا لَمْ نَكُمْ مِنَ الْمُصَّلِينَ وَلَمْ نَكُمْ نُطْعِيمُ الْمِسْكِينَ. They said, we did not used to be from amongst those who prayed, nor were we from amongst those who fed the poor. So here they're mentioning from the reasons why they're in the hellfire is that they did not pray, and that they did not feed the poor. وَكُنَّا نَخُوضُ مَا الْخَائِضِينَ وَكُنَّا نُكَذِّبُ بِيَوْمِ الدِّينِ. And they used to delve into vain and foul talk, and backbiting and lying, and the vain and useless speech, and they used to belie the Day of Judgment. So by belying the Day of Judgment, they have disbelieved entirely. So that this is sufficient for them to be punished. But they mention along with that why they are punished, any for their disbelief, and likewise for not praying. They were not from those who established the Salah, nor from those who fed the poor. So meaning that they're being held accountable for these affairs in the hereafter. So therefore, a disbeliever, he's not required to pay the zakat. We will not tell him to pay the zakat. If he paid the zakat, it will not be accepted from him. If he did not accept Islam, then he will be held accountable for that in the hereafter. And likewise, he'll be punished for not paying the zakat. And this is what is intended here. We understand this? Allah, he says, وَمَا مَنَعَهُمْ أَن تُقَبَلَ مِنْهُمْ نَفَقَاتُهُمْ إِلَّا أَنْهُمْ كَفَرُوا بِاللَّهِ وَبِرَسُولِ وَمَا مَنَعَهُمْ أَن تُقَبَلَ مِنْهُمْ نَفَقَاتُهُمْ إِلَّا أَنْهُمْ كَفَرُوا بِاللَّهِ وَبِرَسُولِ. And nothing prohibited their charity from being accepted from them except that they disbelieved in Allah, except that they disbelieved in Allah and His Messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Likewise, we have seen from the wisdom of zakat, what is from the main wisdom of zakat for the person who performs it? Zakat, خُذْ مِنْ أَمْوَالِهِمْ صَدَقَةً تُطَاهِرُهُمْ وَتُزَكِّيهِمْ بِهَا. This is from the greatest wisdoms of the zakat, is that it's a means of purification for the one who performs it, for his soul and for his wealth. For his soul and for his wealth. وَالْكَافِرْ لَا يُطَهَّرْ إِلَّا بِالتَّوْبَةِ. A disbeliever, he will not be purified with anything except for sincere and true repentance. And the one who dies upon that, he will never be purified. وَلِيَذُ بِاللَّهِ. He will never be purified. وَلِيَذُ بِاللَّهِ. He will abide in the hellfire with the anger and the wrath of Allah for eternity. For eternity. So we see now any a side benefit that we say, Alhamdulillah, الَّذِي هَدَانَ لِهَذَا وَمَا كُنَّا لِنَهْتَدِيَ لَوْلَا أَنْ هَدَانَ اللَّهِ. We praise Allah for guiding us to this, for guiding us to Islam, and guiding us to the Sunnah of His Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and for purifying our souls from shirk and from disbelief, and from the false ideologies and the false and fabricated religions of Christianity and Judaism and the likes like this. Alhamdulillah. So a zakat is a means of purification, and the disbeliever cannot be purified. So therefore it will not benefit him. Therefore it will not benefit him, not in this life and not in the hereafter. Not in this life and not in the hereafter. And this is with regards to the one who is a kafir, and he's born in that manner. He's born in that manner upon disbelief, وَلِيَذُ بِاللَّهِ. Or even if he was a murtad, and he's somebody who apostated. Somebody who apostated, وَلِيَذُ بِاللَّهِ. Likewise, yani this is the ruling for him. The second condition, the people of knowledge, they mention al-hurriyah. Al-hurriyah, yani ضد الرق, yani to be a free person. And this is from those rulings that are established with regards to this. And he clarifying that it's only obligatory upon those who are free. As for the slaves, then it will not be obligatory upon them. And the evidences for this issue, the author, he will mention some of them. Inshallah, we discuss them when we begin reading yani in this chapter from Umdat al-Ahkam. But this is the first two, al-Islam wa al-Hurriya. After that, many times in many of the other chapters, along here or in this order or arrangement, next will come at taklif. Next will come at taklif. We have taken this before. At taklif. What is intended by at taklif? At taklif. Baligan and yikun baligan aqilan. Ahsant. What is intended by taklif? Al bulugh wal aql. Al bulugh wal aql. So many times, like for example, in the chapter of salah and the likes like this, after the mention of Islam, they will mention that a person, he has intelligence, he has an aql, and the person, he has reached the age of puberty. He has reached the age of puberty. So now we discuss the issue, is a taklif shartun li wujub al-zakat? Had a taklif shartun li wujub al-zakat? Is the fact that a person reached the age of puberty and that he has a sanity, a condition for the obligation of zakat? Or will it even be obligatory even if a person, he was a child, or even if he was in a state of insanity? or even if he was a state of insanity. We understand, we picture the issue now. The people of knowledge, the majority of them, Jumhur al-Ulama, la ishtaritoona at-takleef li wujub al-zakat. They do not make takleef a condition. The majority of the scholars, they do not make takleef a condition for the obligation of zakat. For the obligation of zakat, meaning as-sabi. إذا كان غنياً يجب في أمواله زكات. إذا توفرت الشروط. As-sabi. Somebody who is a child. Somebody who is a child. If he has wealth, if he's considered rich, he has money that reaches the nisab, and he has it for a year, there's an obligation on that money to be paid. The obligation of zakat. And likewise, a person, if he had wealth, he lost his mind, he was insane, for example. He was insane, for example. And he inherited his wealth, or some money came to him, or he was from those who were affluent, and he did not have his sanity, and the period went over on his wealth, and it was of the wealth that's any that the zakat is required, reaching the nisab. You need the conditions are present. If that term comes, then it's an obligation to pay that zakat. For example, there is a child, a young boy. We'll say he's 2 years old. In our example, 2 years old. He does not have an intention. He does not have maturity. He's not mumayyiz, nothing like that. Maybe he can't even say but a few words. But his father died and he inherited thousands. His father died and he inherited thousands. After a year goes by, the wealth is still in his possession. He's the owner of that wealth. He's the owner of that wealth. That wealth belongs to him. That wealth belongs to him. It's an obligation on that wealth that the zakat should be paid. It's not an obligation upon the child. It's an obligation upon the wealth. So many of the people of knowledge have clarified here that إخراج الزكاة هنا من باب الحكم الوضعي وليس من باب الحكم التكليفي. This is from the aspect that whenever the wealth is present and the conditions are present, the zakat must be paid upon it. The zakat must be paid upon it. And with regards to the wealth, if the wealth reaches this amount and the period goes over it, the zakat, it must be paid. So it's something, if the conditions are there, the ruling is there. If the conditions are there, the ruling is there, and it's not a condition for a person to have sanity nor to be of the age of purity. This is with regards to the wealth. So the one who has guardianship over that child, it's an obligation for him to pay the zakat on behalf of that child from that child's wealth, to take out the proper amount of zakat from that child's wealth and give it to the proper sources. Those who are in charge of him, yani, and have guardianship over him, they must pay the zakat on that child's wealth. You understand that? Likewise, somebody who's considered majnoon, like maybe a man who was wealthy, maybe somebody who was rich, and then he got old, and then he got Alzheimer's. For example, so that we can picture the issue. Somebody who was wealthy, somebody who has millions, for example, or thousands, and then he becomes old, and he gets sick, and he gets Alzheimer's, and then he forgets who he is, he forgets who his children are, and he's talking to himself, the likes like this. And he has asabahu al-haram, na'udhu billahi min al-haram. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to seek refuge with Allah from this. But it happens to some people. So this person here, he doesn't have his mind, but the wealth is still his wealth. The wealth is still his wealth. No doubt he will not be allowed to do what he likes with it because he does not have his sanity. But those who are from his close relatives and family members, they would have guardianship over him and over his wealth. And if the period goes by and the zakat becomes obligatory, it's a must for them to pay it on his behalf, from his wealth, from his wealth. So therefore, at-takleef is not a condition for the obligation of paying zakat. We understand what is intended here? We understand what is intended here? What does takleef consist of? Two affairs? Al-aql wa al-bulugh. And that he has sanity and that he reached the age of purity. So a takleef, what does it mean? It means accountability. It means accountability. And a takleef is accountability. So when would a person reach accountability? And whenever he has his sanity and he reaches the age of puberty. So this is a condition in many of the actions of worship, for them to be obligatory and even some of them to be accepted in the likes like this, but not here. Not in the chapter of a zakat. Not in the chapter of a zakat. So now we see the third condition. أن يكون المال مما تجب فيه الزكاة. يعني من الأموال الزكوية. The third condition is that the wealth, it must be from the wealth that zakat is obligatory. That the zakat is obligatory with regards to. So we have seen that there are five types of wealth. We have five types of wealth that the zakat is obligatory with regards to. It's not obligatory with regards to every type of wealth. So there are only five types. Who can remind us of them? The first one, An-Naqdan. An-Naqdan. What is it considered by An-Naqdan? Gold and silver. Al-Dhahab wal-Fidda. Wa ma yulhaqu bihima. And that which is also accompanied with them, or considered from them, from the cash money, from the currency, from the money, from the dollars, from the riyals, from the rubiyah, the currency, the paper currency that we have is considered along with gold and silver. So this is, if it's in this type of wealth, this is from the wealth that's called al-amwal al-zakawiyyah. Al-amwal al-zakawiyyah. The second one was bahimatu al-anam. Bahimatu al-anam, which are al-ibil wal-baqar wal-ghanam. Al-ibil are the camels, the baqar are the cows, and the ghanam are the sheep and the goats. The sheep and the goats, they're both considered from the ghanam. So also al-zuru' wa-thimar, al-hubub wa-thimar, ma tukhrijuhu al-ard, that which is produced from the earth, meaning the crops, the fruits and the crops. But here likewise, it's not every fruit and every crop, rather specific types of grains and crops, specific type of crops. This will likewise we'll discuss them. So this is the third one. The fourth one?
Things that can be sold.
Huh?
Property that can be sold.
Ahsant, urud al-tijara. Urud al-tijara, that which has been prepared for sale. Any that which has been prepared for selling, any for business and trade, whatever it may be. Each one of these issues here, we discuss them inshallah in detail likewise, or in a brief detail, especially the ones that concern us more in these lands and in these days. So that's the fourth one. And the fifth one was al-ma'din wal-rikaz. Al-ma'din is the valuable materials that are found in the earth, like gold and silver. Like gold and silver. Any that are found, but not the one that you buy in the store for jewelry or the likes like this for having wealth, but some that's found in the ground. And somebody will find the gold in the ground on his property, an ore and the likes like this, or the silver or the likes. This is called ma'din. And also al-rikaz. Al-rikaz, the people of knowledge, they mention dufun al-jahiliyyah, the things that were buried, the treasures and the valuable items that were buried in the times of al-jahiliyyah, from the wealth of the kufar, from the wealth of the kufar. This one likewise is from al-amwan al-zakawiyyah. So it must be from here. It must be from this type of wealth, from this type of wealth. After this, the fourth condition, al-milk al-tam. Al-milk al-tam. A person, he must have complete ownership. He must have complete ownership. So the people of knowledge, they mentioned that what this means is that a person, he must have complete ownership of his wealth. Meaning he must have it in his possession and he's able to do what he wants with it whenever he wants. Because sometimes maybe somebody, he will have ownership over wealth, but he will not have authority over it. He will not be able to do what he wants with it. He will not be able to do what he wants with it. And he sometimes, for example, maybe he has some money and he hid it somewhere and forgot where it was at. Whose money is it? It's his money, but he can't do what he wants with it because he does not remember where it's at. Or maybe somebody, his account will be put on hold and he will not be able to take anything from his account and the likes like this. Inshallah, we take the details of this fourth condition in the next class. The fourth condition, again, it was al-milk al-tam, to have complete ownership. There are details, يعني, with regards to this particular condition. Inshallah, we begin that in the class to come. هذا وصلى الله على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم.